We have a number of parents that are bringing their children to be dedicated unto the Lord, and that's exciting. And I take it very seriously when we do child dedication, because more so the dedication for a child is really, it's the parents. The real challenge is to the parents. What you're saying is that you're dedicating yourself to recognize some truths and some principles that God's laid out in His Scripture, but that you're going to follow those and make sure that you raise these children up in the way that He'd have them raised. And so it's quite a responsibility that the parents are asking. So a lot of times when somebody says, well, can I dedicate my child? I like to sit down with the parents and talk to them, if I haven't already, just so I can see where they're at scripturally and understanding what they're asking. Because I believe when the Scripture says that don't enter into a covenant with God that you don't plan to try to fulfill, He takes that very literally. So when these parents come this morning, they're going to be asking and they're proclaiming before God, these are the promises that they want to hold in these children, and they want to raise them up in the Lord. So we don't want anybody to enter in it without fully understanding. So this morning we're going to talk about it. I want to thank everybody that came out yesterday for our adoption party. Thank you. If you couldn't make it, I understand. You can't make it to everything. We get it. Believe you me, our calendar is full, and there's a lot of things we can't make it to that we wished we could, and in spirit we're there, but we couldn't be there. So it was a great time yesterday. Thank everybody for being there. We got three new additions to the family, and I keep teasing my wife and saying, if you don't want to spend any time with me alone, just tell me. We don't have to keep bringing kids in as a reason to do it. So, you know, she just laughs, and she hasn't said, no, honey, I really do want to spend time with you. And as we get older, she just laughs with me. So maybe I'm a prophet in that area, and I had no idea. So this morning, when we talk about dedication, and I didn't mark my Bible, so I'm marking along with you. We talk about dedication. I looked up the definition of dedicate, and it says this: the quality of being dedicated or committed to a task or a purpose. When it comes into to the Christian or a religious, if you were to say, realm, it's to devote to the worship of a divine being, specifically to be set apart, to be sacred, used with solemn rites, to be set apart to a definite use, like money being dedicated to their vacation fund. So it kind of gives you an idea that dedication is just to follow. It's to say you're going to do this. And so this morning, that's what it's going to be. And we're going to have the kids come back in at the invitation time so the kids can join their parents up here that are getting dedicated. Plus, we want the other kids to see what it's about. So as a church body of the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe that it's our responsibility to dedicate in our life to Him. Amen? Well, everything we have is His. So technically, everything we have is His, and He's letting us borrow it. So everything's His. And we're going to look at the Scripture. The children are His. They're His heritage. They're His reward to us. We are only over them for a certain amount of time to give and make an impact on them and then to turn them back over to the Lord. So let's go to the Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this morning. I thank You for another opportunity to look into Your Word and to preach and to glean from it. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would have power this morning, free reign in our hearts to challenge, to correct, Lord, to love on us. Lord, as we talk about this child dedication and what we're talking about, Lord, may we as adults understand we should be dedicated. And even if we don't have children, we need to share these dedications, because ultimately we are to be obedient to You. God, I pray that there's anything I was to say today that was not Your will, You take it from me. Lord, I pray for those that couldn't make it today because of health concerns. It seems like people are sick all over, and it's just November. So God, I pray that You'd be with them. Lord, I think of those that couldn't make it because of the weather. Lord, I pray that You would help them, give travel mercies. Lord, we thank You for all that You've done in our lives and will do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, so dedication. I did have in my notes here, I was going to leave it alone, but I'm going to throw it out there just to kind of loosen up a little bit. God prefers PlayStation over Xbox. I thought I'd just let you know that. So everybody that's got Xboxes, God doesn't want those. He wants the PlayStation. So if you don't play video games, you'd be like, what are you talking about? But those that play video games, they know. So I believe a biblical child dedication requires and states many things. So this morning, I just want to highlight four areas when I read the Scriptures that I think God requires and He states in His Word. And the first point is, number one, is parents must be dedicated to God. They must be dedicated to God. And here's some verses that I had came up with, or that God's Word shows to us. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In Romans 14, 8, for whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are who? The Lord's. And then Proverbs 3, 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So dedication or being committed to God starts by, first of all, having a relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. We can't commit or complete a task if we don't, or even have a purpose if we don't know Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It would be much easier, or it's much easier to raise up our children to love God if we love him first. Amen? And so it's very important that the first thing we understand to be dedicated to God, or to be parents raising our children to be dedicated to God, we must be first born-again believers as parents. So as I'm looking around, I know the testimonies of many, but I don't know the testimonies of all. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because that's the first and foremost thing. You can't even be dedicated. You can't even have any kind of, some people say, well, I just want to do what's right by God. Well, the first thing you can do to even get on that playing field is to be right with his son, Jesus Christ, and trusting in him as Lord and Savior. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, you have to recognize, first of all, that you're a sinner and that you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You say, well, who are you to say that I'm a sinner? I don't. The Word of God says you're a sinner. God's own word says that that there is none righteous, no, not one. It says that we're all without excuse. We all sin. You say, what's a sin? Well, a sin's a lie, a cheat, a steal. It's thinking evil thoughts about somebody. It's in a lustful look, a covetousness thought. And because we all have that nature, we're all sinners. Anybody in here that would be willing to raise their hand and say, I'm not a sinner this morning? I don't do anything wrong. I've never lied. I've never cheated. I never stole anything. No, because we would be lying right there. And in James chapter 2, it says that if you do one of these sins, you've broken them all. So that, God set that there because he knew me. Because I'd be like, you know what? I may do A, B, C, and D, but I've never done what Ron's done. So God would really take me because really, and see, everybody's agreeing with me when I point at Ron. If you're a guest this morning, Ron, he's good character. He knows all about it. He's playing with me. Don't think I'm picking at him. So with that, I would line myself up against somebody that I could look better than, right? And I'd say, well, God, look at me. I've never done what somebody else has done. Therefore, you have to accept me. You'll love me more. But God says that if you've done one of those things, you're guilty of them all. So that kind of trumps my thought process. Well, just because I've never murdered anybody, I'm still as guilty before a righteous God of my sin. And so that's the thing we have to look at as people and as humans, that when we stand before God, we have to understand, we have to recognize that we are sinners, and based on that sin, the only thing that gets into heaven is perfection. Since we're not perfect, there's another place that non-perfect things are going, and it's called hell. But God gave us a way to avoid hell, and that's through his son, Jesus Christ. His righteous son, Jesus Christ. He lived perfect. He never lied one time. He never stole. He never sinned. The scripture says in Hebrews that he was tempted in every way that we were, and he knows what we go through and never sinned one time. That's pretty awesome. And he did all that so that when he died on the cross, his blood would be pure and powerful so that we could be set free from our sin debt. It's called a substitution. He was our substitute. He took our place on a cross that belonged to us. So you have to understand, you have to acknowledge, you have to admit that you're those things, but you also have to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's by the belief. You say, well, prove it. I could line up book by book by book and show proof and testimony, 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 but that's not going to get you to heaven. It's a belief you have to have inside your heart that the Holy Spirit witnesses inside of you that it's truth and put a stake in it and say, that's it. It's a belief that you have what God has done and what his word has said, that he raised Jesus from the grave and that Jesus is the only way to the Father, and that it's a confession. Once you believe it, what are you going to do with it? And you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you say, I need you. I surrender all. The heart says, yes, you are convicting me. I need you. And you surrender. That is the salvation we talk of. And then that salvation brings about things such as the whole character of you starts to change. God transforms you over time into what he would have you to be. but you don't trust in him, you don't admit this, you don't believe this, and then return back to the lifestyle. God doesn't take you out of the pig pen to save you and throw you back in the pig pen. He takes you out of the pig pen, he cleans you up, and sends you on a whole new journey. So the first thing you have to be is born again. It's important also that our children will have an example to follow, because kids learn from you bad or good, amen? Man, kids are tattletales. They will tell everything you do. I have children. I have seen this thing play out. I have said one thing in my house, live something outside, and guess who will tell on you? Yes. I just didn't want to say a name. They will tell everything about you, bad or good. It is important that our children see us live a servanthood, a devoted life to each other and to God. Your devotion or lack of it speaks louder and clearer than any other thing there is. I've seen many Christians that bad or good, that they emulate their parents' faith. Can I tell you something here this morning? Even if you're not dedicating your children, your spiritual journey, your walk, will be emulated a lot of times by your children. That's not fair to say in every circumstance. I'm just saying the bar is there. They watch you. They see what you do. They see how you respond to that person that treats you bad. They see how you respond, whether you're opening your Bible and reading it, or prayer, or if you fly off the handle. They see these things. So these parents today are coming without excuse. God expects their devotion, and he expects them first. It doesn't mean they're not going to make mistakes. It just means they need to be watching who's watching them, and it's God and their children. So how do parents show their devotion? Well, how does Andrew become a diehard Michigan fan? He was not even born in Michigan. He was born in Florida. Why? How does he become a diehard Michigan fan? Because I have brainwashed the child. I make him wear it. I buy him the stuff. I take him to the football games. That's all we'll watch on TV. That's all I talk about. I won't hear any other teams. So how does he know to become a Michigan fan? Because I put that into him. You guys are thinking, poor child. I get it. It's the same thing when it comes to God. What we pour into them is what they're going to take from it. If they see you studying your Bible, if they see you praying, if they see you in a time of need saying, I don't know, but we're going to stay close to the Lord, they're going to see that. When they see Christ's character demonstrated in your life, they're going to see that. Don't be afraid to let them know you've blown it. They know you've blown it anyways. How many dads in here have blown it, just horribly blown it, but yet you're so prideful, you just won't admit it. And you say something like this, because this is the guy that said, I'm not pointing fingers at you, I'm pointing at me. You say, well, I said it anyways. And you walk away, right? Or I said so, or I don't owe you an explanation, right? We go to that because we don't want to tell them, hey, I blown it. It's okay to go say, you know what? I blew it. I'm sorry. Forgive me. This shows your devotion to God. It says, you know what? When I make a mistake and I sin, I'm going to apologize to you. And I'm sorry. They watch how we prioritize things of God, whether it's church, life group. Don't allow things to take of God to take the back burner. Don't allow it to happen. How you make your decisions is based on biblical principles, God's word, counsel from God's people. They will watch you, and what you do, they will emulate. Let them learn by seeing God is the most important thing in your life. I've said it many times from this pulpit, and I know it probably grates on people's nerves, and I understand, but I'm not going to back down from it. Don't allow your child to make a choice in whether you go to a church event. Don't allow them to make a choice whether they go. Make them go. Make them go to Reverb. Make them go to Snow Camp. We put these programs in place to help you as a parent to raise your children up in the Lord. Make them go to Awana. Make them come to church. If you read the foundation of this church and how it was founded, you'll see it written in the book that Peter and them talked. They went and cleaned off the church pews before church with their pants. But if you ask him, he will tell you it was never a debate whether he was going to church or not. They got up and they expected they were going to a church. Well, you say this might not be your church fit. Find one that you're fit and get involved. Because some people say, I just heard it last week. Well, I'm not church-oriented. I'm God-oriented, but I'm not church. Who's the bride of Christ? The church. So how can you be for what God's for if you're not for what he died for, the church? Secondly, homes must be dedicated to the Lord. Psalm 127:1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain. I'm not going to talk about my life too much because I've done it enough. I'm going to tell you right now, I lived in a house that was not built on the Lord, and it was in vain. Joshua 24:15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods with which your father served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Matthew 7, I don't have it on the screen, 24 through 27, talks about building your ground, what it's like to build it on the sand or on the firm foundation of Christ. Sometimes you need to take a stake in your land and say, this is mine. That's my battle cry. Joshua 24:15, and you're going to live by it or you're going to leave. Now, I'm not saying you do that with a little kid. But as your teenagers go into 20, 25, and they're still in your basement or in a room somewhere, and they say, I'm not going to church, everybody in my house goes to church. Godly homes cannot be God-centered. They must be God-centered. Or they cannot be children-centered. They got to be God-centered. We live in a society today where everything's about the child. What does the child want to do? Sports, this. Do you know they're seeing more leading injuries or sports-related injuries now than they ever have before? Because kids aren't given breaks from anything. They go from football to soccer to wrestling to indoor soccer to all these different things that take up all the time. When you talk to the parents, they're like, I can't go to church. My kids have gone, you want to see my calendar, preacher? Have a God-centered home. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with being sport events. You know I coach. But God comes first. And in too many ways, that pendulum has swung so far this way that we're running into a generation of Psalm 78 where kids have no idea who God is. Homes need to be safe places that are scared to talk about God's word, a place where God's worshipped in service every day because they can't have that in the community. If the parents are married in the house, that needs to be displayed that that's the most important relationship, personal relationship, and the relationship be emulated. My biggest thing at the end of the day is I want my girls and my sons to say, I want to be as good, if not better, of a husband and a father than my dad was. I want me to be the bottom of the rung, okay? I want me to have set the bar this low and everything else they shoot is for higher. And so what does that mean? I love my wife. And I'm going to try to treat her like the queen God says she is or the princess God says she is. And my relationship to her is first, second, after God and before my children. And too many things have swung the other way. It's become children-centered, and it's supposed to be God-centered. Is my goal that my kids have a deep relationship with Jesus, that they can turn to him because he will always be here. I won't. We need a revival in the home. What does revival mean? Definition of it is an act or an instant of reviving, the state of being revived, renewed attention or interest. I would say we need that in the home, a revival more in the home than we do the church. Because Satan is attacking our homes at record pace. He's attacking the home. And listen, I'm not going to get political. I'm not going to talk about, all that stuff. I'm saying in a Christian home, are you with me? In dedicated, born-again believers, whatever you put the parameters are of how they are, I'm just saying born again, saved by Jesus Christ, they're attacked as never before by Satan in their home. And we need a revival. We need an awakening in the home that says, I'm not going to allow Satan to attack me these ways and list those out. Whether it's through the outside influence, whether it's the television stations, whether it's the radio, whether it's the friend or social media. But we are under attack. And if Satan destroys the home, what do you think comes next? The church. He attacks the church through the home. I want to ask how many, and this is where I want you to show your hand, how many of you in here are a first-generation Christian? What that means is you're a born-again believer, but your parents were not. I want everybody to look around. That's probably, if I was to be an estimator, 25% of the room? 20% of the room? First-generation Christians. Psalm 78. If you'd turn with me to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Let me know when you're there. Hold on a second, somebody said. I'll take a drink of water. Psalm 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he hath established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hopes in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. I believe we're living in a generation of this today. Psalm 78, and it's directed to Israel, and it's talking about the time of Moses to David. But I think as you read that today, that's going to be our battle cry today, that there's a generation that doesn't know because of their stubborn, rebellious parents. And it's time for us to take a stand to say, okay, we're going to make sure that God's principles go down to the next generation. We needed to tell the old, old story. Amen? So thirdly, children are God's gift. They are his. Psalms 127:3 says this, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." And the Amplified says, "Behold, children are a heritage and a gift from God, the fruit of the womb of reward." Heritage means priority that is or may be inherited or inheritance. Our children are God's property. They're his lineage. We're to raise them to continue the work of God. Again, we need to set the example of how they should be living. Fourthly, children are to be raised God's way. If you'd turn into Deuteronomy 6, Deuteronomy 6, children are to be raised God's way. Are we there? All right, verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou layest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be on the frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." I think it was pretty important. God didn't leave out any areas here, did he? Whether you're sitting down, lying down, sleeping, whether you're whatever it is, we need to be teaching our children about God. And then, of course, we all know this one from even in Bible school. Train up your child in the way he should go, and what? When he's old, he will not depart from it. And I've paused many times and said, that's a four-word promise to me and to any of you that could have a child that could go wayward, that train them when they're younger. Make them go to church. Make them go to events. Make them pee in front of people they don't want to be because they're not cool. Can I tell you? Nobody's cool except for Hollywood elite. And then you find out the dirt in their backyard. And do you really want your kids around them? But when he is old, he will not depart of it. There's many people in here that God trained, that God brought in, that their parents brought them in, and when they got older, they got right. This is Proverbs 3, verses 4 through 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto what? Thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Being a godly parent will be the hardest thing you will ever do. I'm going to repeat that. Being a godly parent will be the hardest thing you ever do. There will be times you will want to disobey God's word and just do it your way. Let's be honest. There will be times that you want to do things your own way. You're not going to want to take the stance that you need to take. I'm going to tell you, as a guy that has faced those and compromised on it, don't do it. God's way is always the best way. And what happens is when I compromise on God's ways, I have to come back again, recircle, have it reestablished, and get it back God's way. There will be days you want to give up on them, or you'll want to give them back to God one way or another, right? Raising children, you'll find out real quick on what love and hate is in the same sentence. I know some of you are like, well, I got little babies. No, there will be times you want to wring their neck. You know, inside your head, you'll have to talk yourself out of it. There will come times you have to let go and let them find their own walk with God. We need to wrap our heads around the fact that God loves our children more than we love our children. Have you thought about that? You don't think it's possible, but God loves your children more than you can possibly love them. He knows their future. He knows what lies ahead. He's going to do what's best for them according to His will. How many of us in here trust God's will? Be careful, because if you raise your hand that you trust His will, that doesn't necessarily mean that your children's future are according to your will. They don't line up. According to His will. I think about last couple weeks ago, Emily and I have kind of kid around about it, even again this morning, that Word of Life was supposed to go to New York City and do the witnessing on the street. And it was that weekend, right after that crazy guy ran down people and was running around with a BB gun or whatever. It was the exact next weekend, or days later, that they were going. And she was worried. She was scared. And I'm going to tell you, as a parent, I was concerned, but I said that, but this was spoken in my heart, not me. This was spoken in my heart. This is a time for you to prove who's in charge. And so when she would text me and ask me and want to look for my approval to get out of it, I just kept saying, and my wife kept saying, you'll be all right. It'll be okay. You'll be taken care of. Sure, the security will be all right. God's got you. You're in His will. He'll take care of you. But I'm going to tell you, in my heart, it was just New York City, but I was nervous. I was scared. And many of you have seen the same thing. Maybe your child's went on a missions trip or something, and you get scared. But ultimately, we got to remember, they're His anyways. And He's going to do a better job protecting them than I ever could. We can build their faith or we can destroy it, and how faithful we are to God. When I look at verse 3, Proverbs 3, I always remember here, and lean not unto thy own understanding. Don't lean on what you understand. Trust in God. Too often we are ignorant to God's word and we're just rebellious and don't care. God has given us some clear-cut examples of dedicated parents, whether it's Hannah begging God for a son and then turning him over to the God's work, and that was Samuel, or Abraham. I mean, how many of us could ever walk the walk of Abraham, of God telling you to take your son up to the top of a hill and you think there's going to be an offering of him, and the only promise you can hold on to, that I hold on to through that chapter when I'm reading it, is that he knew, based on God saying many times, you're going to have a son, that God would either raise him from the dead or would pull something out. Abraham took his son up there to the top of the hill and was ready to drop a knife onto his son because God said to. Or Joseph and Mary, 8 days after Christ was born, took him into the temple to have him blessed by the priest. And what was told, the prophecy was told, that he would be hurt and that he would be killed and that her heart would be full of sorrow. And yet they still raised him. So my conclusion is this. The parents that come today, as well as us, we must be dedicated to God. Our homes must be dedicated. Our children are a gift, but they're His. And they're to be raised His way. So before we have the parents come, I want to ask you, do you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Are you His? Because that's the first step of being dedicated to God, is becoming His. And what's stopping you? And then second, what example are you setting in your home? I can tell you that's a tough one, because the Holy Spirit definitely shows me areas in my own life that I need to straighten out in my home. So at this time, when we kind of think of where we're at, and we're allowing God to talk to our hearts, and we're really honing into what the Holy Spirit's telling us, do you know Him as Lord and Savior? Would you be willing to say, I don't, but I need to? So I'm going to look around, I'm going to ask, do you know Him? Not just of Him, but do you know Him personally? Walk with Him, where He speaks to you through His Word, where the Holy Spirit tells you you're His. If not, are you willing to? So I'm going to ask everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes very quickly. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never taken that step of faith, and the Holy Spirit's talking to your heart right now saying, you need me. Would you even raise your hand and say, that's me? Is there anyone? Is there anybody say that right now in their heart? Say, God, save my soul. I am a sinner, and I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I am surrendering all right now. I believe that Jesus lived. The Holy Spirit inside of me is talking to me, telling me, convicting me, directing me, drawing me, opening my eyes for the first time. And today, I'm going to proclaim it. And will you slip your hand and say, that's me? Is there anyone? Did I see that hand? Anyone else? How many parents in here say, you know what, I'm not living my house the way it should be. It needs to be done. I need to make it right today. I need to take care of it right now. And God has showed me some areas that I can do that. And you'd be willing to raise your hand and say that. I'm right there. Yeah, hands everywhere. We're going to have a moment of invitation. And who would be the first to come? As Paige plays the piano. Is there anybody that would like to come pray at the altar? You can pray where you're at, but is there anybody to come up to the altar and say, you know what, I'm putting this out here and I want everybody to know that I need to do more in my home for God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we pray that you'd help each one of us as parents, grandparents, Lord, just as friends, as servants of you, to have a better dedicated walk with you. Protect our homes. And then to also help with the children that are in this church. Help and with the parents that raise these children. And Lord, if all else, we could just pray for them. But Lord, may we do all we can to pass on to that next generation the old story of Jesus and His saving grace. We love you and we commend this dedication service with these parents that are about to come to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.